that there's times you just need your faith strengthened. Amen. Amen. I felt the impression of the Holy Spirit over the next course of several weeks, and it may be a couple of months, I'm not sure. Just whenever He is done, we're going to look at strengthening faith in God, and we're going to start this morning. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, God's going to strengthen my faith today. I want you to look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 4 through 9. And when you get there, can you say amen? 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, here we're going to go with verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. They vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. Verse 5. There are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. There are distinctive varieties of operation of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given, and through the Holy Spirit, the power to speak a message of wisdom. To another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by one Spirit, to another working of miracles. And I want to just stop right there, because verse 9 is where I want to key on. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, and it says in verse 9, to another wonder working faith by the same Spirit. All right. I also want to read this to you from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says this, I'm also reading from the Amplified Bible this morning. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work, perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. And what I want to speak to you about this morning, and probably next Sunday morning, is the gift of faith, the gift and calling of God and God's purpose in you. Now, I want to distinguish something this morning for foundational purposes. In Titus chapter 1, verse 4, Paul tells Titus we have a common faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 12, he calls it a mutual faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it is called a like precious faith. And what is that? That is simply the fact that we as believers have believed on the atoning work of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary to cover our sins. That is the common, the mutual, or like faith. I can say this, almost all Christians, whether they are Catholic or Protestant, and the difference in most Protestants is not about what they believe on Calvary, it's what they believe happens after you get born again and you start walking in growth and grace in the Lord. Most all Christians believe what Jesus did on the cross through his death, burial, and his resurrection is enough to cover your sins. Amen? So, that being said, we need to do that first and foremost. But I want to get to this second one, which I read to you this morning. It is the gift of miracle-working faith. I want to say this to you. Most Christians, including Pentecostals and Charismatics, believe that if we pray enough, believe enough, that God will work a miracle. And sometimes that will happen. I want to say this to you. Miracles don't just happen. God distinctly sends them on purpose. And I want to prove that statement to you. How many of you remember in the book of Exodus when Moses was leading the children of Israel? The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, that was God. He was leading them, right? Amen? The devil did not take them down to the Red Sea. Amen? It was that pillar of fire, that cloud by day. God led them to the Red Sea where the ocean was in front of them, the mountains were on both sides of them, and Pharaoh and the army was coming behind them. God led them to a place of impossibility so that he could perform the miracle of opening up the Red Sea. Come on. And you read Exodus 15, you find out how God opened the Red Sea. He said he sent a strong east wind, and it caused the waters to congeal or to freeze and stood up in walls. Israel marched through on dry ground. Then God caused the waters to come in on Pharaoh's army. That miracle happened on purpose. And every time that God performs a miracle, it's on purpose. Because you're in a place that you don't have an earthly answer for, doesn't mean that God's not concerned and does not care about you. It means that he's right there with you to walk with you through that. Amen? Hallelujah. The gift of faith is simply this. It's when you get in those situations, and if you will have enough integrity and honesty of heart, that will look up and say, my faith is not enough for this situation. Lord, I trust you, I know you, I believe you, but what I have is not enough to get this job done. It's not enough to conquer this situation. I need you to give me some of your faith. That is God's gift of faith. It worked in the Old Testament. It works in the New. And when that happens, you can't doubt if you wanted to. Come on, hallelujah. And that comes through several different avenues. I want to say this to you this morning. Praise the Lord. What I'm about to preach to you, it's going to be totally new ground for some of you. Some of it's going to be old hat to you. But if you will grab a hold of this, God will do some outstanding things in your life, and you will have the testimony to say, God did it. There will be some outstanding miracles that will happen to you. I've heard people say, if God would just intervene, he wants to. But sometimes we are so busy praying that we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us in that moment of crisis. Sometimes when the storm is raging, all he's going to stand up and say is, peace, be still, and it's going to stop. Come on, hallelujah. But Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Why haven't you intervened? He's waiting on you to get still and listen. Be still and know that I am God. Come on. Hallelujah. He'll show you what to do. I have shared this with you, but I'm going to share this with you again for the purpose of illustrating God's gift of faith. You heard me tell the story many, many times about Sister Kim. I've been out mowing grass. I come in from mowing grass. This was in 1991. And my thing when I mow grass, I either listen to music, listen to preaching, or I pray in the Spirit. One of the three things I do, and sometimes I do all three things. With this new technology, I can put the phone, put the preaching and the music all on the SD card and listen to it, okay? That's another thing. And I came in, and I get this life-altering emergency phone call. It's a lady from our church that played piano and led worship. She is the only child of her parents. And she only has one child who is a daughter, who at this time is a young married woman with a baby. She called me, she says, I'm calling and getting everybody I can to pray. She says, Kim has had an aneurysm of the brain. And the young lady was 23 at the time. And they said, if she lives through the night, she will be a vegetable. And she will not know any of us. It says, I need somebody to believe God with me. And I said, Lord, I said, okay, we'll go pray. I'm on the phone. I'm not expecting this phone call. I don't have time to beef up my faith. Come on, hallelujah. This is God's faith to begin to operate in me. It's that gift of the Spirit. Because I already believe Him and trust Him. I said, Father, I believe You to touch Sister Kim, and I believe You to deliver her. And I believe You to stop this bleeding. And I went through the whole thing of praying. But I felt my spirit, what I was praying, wasn't getting it done. And I heard the Holy Spirit, and this is that gift of faith. He says, rebuke death and call back life. I had never done that in my life to that moment. And I didn't say it quietly either. I said, I rebuke death. And I call back life. And I believe deliverance to come to her. And she said, as she's hanging up, she says, they're getting ready to fly her to UVA from Parisburg. They're getting ready to do that. And the next day I get the report. Kim is conscious. And she knows every one of us. And they're saying they don't understand how this happened. It's not supposed to happen. And they also told her, do not have any more children because it could cause this to reoccur. Well, she had two more daughters. All three of those girls are grown. The last time that we were at Narrows, and Rita and I preached there for John and Millie there at Narrows, I was sharing this story. I walked right up to her. It kind of was quiet, like, yeah, right. You know, even people who say they believe in miracles don't always. Amen? I said, and by the way, who I'm talking about, I said, it's Sister Kim right here. The people started looking around. I said, not only did God deliver her and heal her, not only did He turn around and give her her mental capacities back, she's blessed with two more daughters, and one of her daughters is the drummer there at the church. Come on, hallelujah. God is a God of miracles. It wasn't Mike's faith that got that. It was God's faith that ran through me and operated for that situation. Hallelujah. Mark 11 and 22 says, have faith in God. And if you run that in the Greek, it says, have the God kind of faith. What's that talking about? The faith that God has, the things that He speaks to us. That's why He says this, that His word won't return void. It will accomplish the purpose that He sent it for. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't even got to my notes yet, but that's all right. You needed that. The gift of faith works in your calling. I want to say this to you. There's not a one of you that's born again in this building that are not called to something. You're gifted to do at least one or two things, if not a half dozen. Read Romans chapter 12, it gives a list of spiritual giftings there that will be in everybody. One of those gifts will be in you, if not two or three of them. But it says something in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, that the grace of God that operates in you, that God gives to every one of us a measure or a proportion or a degree of faith. And then it goes on to talk about these gifts. So what I'm saying to you, it may be lying dormant in you, and you may not have learned to function in it yet. Like when a baby is born, they have to reach a certain point in growth before they can walk. And when they walk, you have to teach them. And the more they walk, the more proficient they get in it. Until finally, you can't keep up with them. Amen? In your spiritual walk, God has placed in you, concerning what He has gifted you with, that miracle-working faith that will enable you to do that ministry, regardless of what hell can vomit at you, regardless of who talks against you, regardless of who stands against you, regardless of who comes against you, because if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. I'm ready to preach this thing. Hallelujah. Whether you're ready to receive it or not, I'm ready to preach it. Hallelujah. Because God is wanting to stir up the gift within you. And He's wanting to turn you loose, hallelujah, so that you can see some people get saved. I wonder why my family doesn't get saved. Hallelujah. Well, you need to look at Hebrews chapter 11 real close. God gifted Noah to build an ark. I want to say this to you. Nobody else can do what you're gifted to do. Look at somebody else and say, nobody else can do what I'm gifted to do. She did what I was thinking. She says, and you can't. She's not being smart. It's the truth. Because when God has called you, even though the gift may be similar to somebody else's, placed you in a certain place, placed you within a body, placed you there to do that work, nobody else can fill your shoes. Somebody else may come in and do the same ministry. But when you've been called to do it, come on, hallelujah. When you've been called to do it, and you're going to have the faith to finish it. Because what the good work He has begun in you, He will do it until the day that Jesus comes, until you leave this planet. He will do it in you. Your age has nothing to do with it. My role as pastor here will change as I get older, but it won't change the fact that He's called me to this place until He says, I'm done with you here, which He hasn't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't know if you feel what I feel, but I feel His anointing all over me right now. And some of you have never heard anything like this. The grace of God works in you to do your calling. The gift of God works in you. You say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Get with me. If you've already come to some of our Sunday night basic sessions, praise the Lord, some of you have an idea already what you're supposed to be doing. And the Bible teaches this about your gift. Your gift will make room for you. I have went some places that there didn't appear to be a place for me. And God made a place for me there. Sometimes it took a little time, but God made a place for you. And He will make a place for you and will bless you in that ministry. Now, I want to say this. I hear Christians do this all the time. This is a side note. Don't talk about what somebody else is doing. Don't talk bad about them. Good place to shout me down. Nobody said amen. Don't talk about them. If they're doing something you don't like, just say, I don't like it. Leave it that. Okay? Don't go into the personal attack mode. Because here's what happens. If they're doing what God wants them to do, then you're touching God's anointing that's on their life. And I don't have any business doing that, and neither do you. Come on, amen? There are some preachers that, I will be honest with you, they totally irritate me. Because they feel it's God's stead in their life to point out and expose supposedly every false prophet in the body of Christ. I want to tell you what, God has never had a problem exposing false prophets all by himself. Hallelujah. The quickest way I can tell you how to spot somebody that's a false prophet, ask them who Jesus is to them. And praise the Lord, if they say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, the Bible teaches this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Everybody that I've ever dealt with that's been in some kind of so-called Christian cult, you ask them who Jesus is, they can't tell you. They'll tell you he's coming after you, after them. They'll tell you that he's coming back again, but they can't tell you that he's their Savior. But a child of God that is born again will look at you dead in the eye and say, he is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my shepherd. He is the Son of God. Come on, hallelujah. Well, they're taking all the people's money. God never had any problem with dealing with those folks either. Remember Achan that stole the Babylonian garment there, praise the Lord, in Joshua chapter 6 and chapter 7? And they went up to Ai and they couldn't win the battle because there was a thief in the camp.
Uh-oh.
And Achan lost his life. God exposed him for taking something that God said was his. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in the church. If they'd have just told the truth, it'd have been all right. But they said they gave everything, but they, when they'd held back part of it, they didn't do. And you know what Peter said to him? He didn't say that you've lied to the preacher. He didn't say that you've lied to the pastor or apostle. He said to them, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You have lied to God. It's one thing to lie to your brother and sister, but it's another thing to lie to God. Praise the Lord. So God has no problem with handling those who mishandle and rip off God's people. He will handle them in due season. Side note. Let me get off my rabbit trail and off my soapbox. The gift of faith is in your calling. Now look at somebody and say, I've got miracles that God's going to give me because I follow his calling and his gift. I'll never forget what sister did back in the prayer room one night when they first came here. We were back here in this office having prayer. She got a prayer cloth. And God had healed her. She said it seriously, but she said it as a joke too. And she says, while you're at it, touch these wrinkles right here and take them away.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, just like she did right there. There are some miracles that are waiting for you and I. I want to say this to you. I want you to grasp this. Your protection, your health, your provision is all tied up with you getting locked into the vision and the gifting and the calling of God. You say, I don't have that. Well, I shared this with sister downstairs. When we went to Faith Assembly in Bluefield, Virginia, there were four folks left, and only one of them was a member. And Rita and Thomas and I and my mom went. That made eight. And that's what we had to start with. And I remember telling the Lord, I know you want me to go here. I don't have the vision for this place. And how many of you know, without vision, people perish? Come on, amen? The Bible teaches so. So I said, I don't have the vision for this place. I go to meet the sister to get the keys to the church. Rita and I and Thomas, we go up there after our church service where we were attending and get the keys to the building. We're supposed to meet and get the church records and all that so we can start in a week. And I'm standing there looking at the soundboard head, figuring out how I could plug up my cassette deck to it to record the sermons. And the little sister that let us in, she had been there years ago when I did a revival there. And she looked at me and she says, "Brother Michael," she says, "I believe the Lord showed me this in a vision." I said, "Okay." I never look up. I'm listening, but I'm not looking. But when she starts talking, I stop what I'm doing and I look at her. She says, "I believe that God wants to put in this church children from every nationality and color and age group." She said, "I've seen the vision with the church full of them." And the Holy Spirit, here comes that gift of faith. The Holy Spirit hits me. "That's what I want to do." I said, "I believe you." Not that summer. We started in June. Not that summer, but the following summer in 2000. For the first time in 14 years, we did a Bible school in that church. Rita and I were teaching a class. She was teaching. I was helping. We had ages 6 to 12 because we didn't have enough people to work it any better than that. Okay? And one little boy that wasn't supposed to be in that group, he wouldn't go anywhere else but to go with his brother, so we took him. And the first night that we were there, when we went to dismiss, before we could dismiss Bible school, I chased him around the pulpit and put him in a bear hug and told him I liked him and sat down on the front pew just to get him to sit down. And the next night he comes back to church and he goes just like this. He says, "My mommy says, 'Preacher, I've got to tell you I'm sorry for the way I acted last night.'" I said, "But I didn't tell on you." He said, "No, my brother did." But we love those kids. And there's another little boy come and sit down. We was explaining to them, "We're having a competition. If the girls win the offering, they get to hit me with water balloons on Friday night. And if the boys win, y'all get to do it." He looked at me and grinned. He says, "I've got money for that." We had, I don't know if we had every nationality, but we had every color there in that Bible school. The sanctuary would only seat 90. The parents were standing around the walls on Friday night. God turned loose that gift of faith in that vision, and we got the miracle of it. And the little boy I told you I chased around the pulpit had the privilege a few months later watching mommy and daddy both walk down the aisle and get saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah. I'm talking about when you do what you're supposed to do in God, God will operate his gift of faith through you. You'll be able to do that work. Hallelujah. Somebody will get saved. Somebody's life will be changed, and it will be because of you. Amen. And see, I'm recording this, and somewhere up the line, there's going to be a preacher that gets a hold of this. Let me tell you, preacher, don't get bent out of shape. Hallelujah. If God doesn't show it to you directly and he sends it secondhand, so like he did with that sister, I don't care how God sends it, just so he shows me. Come on, hallelujah. If I want to go home and Thomas's dog wants to speak to me and tell me the vision of God, I'm going to listen. Come on, if I know it's the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody said, "I don't know about that." Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. You ever wondered if Moses missed it? You know, he killed that Egyptian, buried him in the sand. You can know that God's going to do something in your life, but till he's given you the vision how to do it. See, that vision is a gift of faith. That vision is a gift of faith. How God's going to do it. He couldn't get Israel to listen to him. The Egyptians ran him out of town because they were going to kill him for killing an Egyptian. But when he gets the vision, the prophetic word, on the mountainside with the burning bush, and God tells him to go to Pharaoh, he said, "Stick your hand in your bosom pull it out. What's he have? Leprosy. Stick it back in. It's healed. What do you have in your hand? Staff. Throw it down. It becomes a serpent. Pick it up by the tail. It becomes a staff. The miracles start to happen. It wasn't that Moses wasn't called all along, but it was the season. It was the time. I want to share with you very openly and honest. I believe this is the season that God wants to cause this church to break forth and bumper miraculous growth. I believe that you're going to start seeing people come in here that you wouldn't dream would come in here from every walk of life, from homeless to rich. And you don't make a distinction between them. You treat both equal. You welcome them because both are souls. You come into this world with nothing and you'll leave with nothing. It's only what you have in between. Praise the Lord. So the thing of it is we need to make sure that they're ready to meet the Lord. Amen? But when Moses gets the vision, he can march right into Pharaoh's throne room, and Pharaoh tells him to go back to work, but he can't touch him. I want you to understand this, that when you're walking in what God wants you to walk in, unless it's God's time for you to come home, you've got divine protection upon you. Hallelujah. I don't care if it is a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. Praise the Lord. Whatever you're gifted to do, divine protection is upon you to keep you wherever you're at. Amen. Come on. That gift of faith began to operate. All the plagues begin to take place. Now I want you to understand this. The miracles that happen, miracles don't release until the gift of faith goes into operation, which is God's faith operating in you. God fed them, gave them water to drink out of a rock, fed them manna from heaven. He made sure their clothes didn't wear out and they couldn't outgrow them. And God took care of them in the wilderness. Whatever it takes for God to keep you, praise the Lord, make sure you're walking in what he's called you to do, because that's how he's going to judge you when you stand before him. Hallelujah. How you've answered his call, what you did with it, praise the Lord. And I looked at somebody yesterday, even though I was at a wedding reception. I said, it doesn't matter if you're called to one or 1 million. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do, that's all that matters. Come on, hallelujah. And when we get that in our spirit, hallelujah, God will give us more than what we've asked for. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time with what you're telling me. I'm going to tell you this, just straight up. When he's called you for something, he's placed the faith in you and the vision in you to accomplish that. All you have to wait for and discern is the time and the place and the season to do it. Let me say that again. The time, the place, and the season to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zechariah, let me say this to you. How many of you know who Zechariah is in the Old Testament? Anybody know? I see a few hands. Zechariah. Okay, good. Zechariah was an Old Testament prophet and a priest. They are coming back from exile in Babylon. Cyrus had given them permission to start building the temple. And in the book of Ezra, they laid the foundation to the temple. And the old men that were young men, when they were carried away into exile 70 years earlier, began to weep because they knew what God was about to do. And the young men who had never seen the old temple began to rejoice. And they said there in the scripture, you couldn't distinguish the weeping from the rejoicing. And the weeping was not for sadness, but for joy that God was restoring a work. But how many of you know the enemy loves to stop the work of God in his tracks? So they have a change in the leadership of the kings. And as it goes, see, Zechariah's hand had been in laying the foundation of the temple. The new king stopped for 18 years the building of the temple. But then Haggai begins to prophesy. You say it's not time to build the Lord's house. He said, but I tell you it is. And the gold and the silver is mine. And he says there in the famous scripture that Pentecostals and Charismatics love to quote in Zechariah there, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Well, if you go on and read a little farther, it says, O great mountain, who are you to stand before? That is an Old Testament terminology referring to a kingdom, because kingdoms were referred to as mountains. So who are you, king, to stand in the way of this? The hand of Zechariah laid this temple. His hand will finish it. I read in the 4th and the 6th chapter of Ezra that they prophesied to them the resumption of the building of the temple happened. And it said they prospered and finished it because of the prophesying of the prophets. I'm saying to you that when God speaks something to you prophetically, praise the Lord, it is God's gift of faith going into you. Because here's what will happen. I want to do this right quickly, and I'll take up with this again next Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. When you get a word of prophecy, whether it is a vision, a spoken word, or whatever, and you know that it's from God, if you believe it, it becomes your deliverance. It becomes the thing that will keep you. If you disbelieve it, it becomes your judgment. And I want to prove this to you, because when the children of Israel got in the wilderness, they were supposed to believe the vision that Moses had. And they didn't believe that God could give them the promised land. And what happened to them? God said, you'll know the breach of my promise. He said, everybody that's 20 years and older will die in the wilderness. Wow. And they did. But if you believe it, God has a miracle lodged in that prophetic word at his time, at his season. He will release, and no devil, no person, no one can stop it from coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. And here's what happens when he releases that. There is miraculous breaking of binding circumstances. Circumstances that you cannot change on your own. God changes them like he did for the building of the temple. Like he did for Israel coming out of Egypt. Circumstances that you can't change, by a miracle, God will change them. Two, there will be miraculous provision. God will provide for what he has called you to. I want to say that again. God will provide what he has called you to. You may look around and there may not be anything within sight of you. But if he has called you to it, rest assured, he is going to take care of it. But the last one's what I like the best. There is miraculous harvest. There is going to be a harvest of souls, hallelujah, that you can't contain. You're going to have to say, come help us. Come help us. We need your help. We need your help to win these lost. We need your help to disciple them. We need your help to keep them. Come on. And he will do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, before I'm done with this, I'm not talking about today. Before I'm done with this series, I'm going to show you the importance of connecting to someone with vision and how the gift of faith operates in that. The importance of connecting to someone with vision, because the blessing that God's blessing them with also comes your way when you do that. Okay? Now I'm going to elaborate on that. Hallelujah. And how it is a shield. I only touched on it this morning. But how that gift of faith is a shield to you in your life. I'm going to be honest with you. Naturally speaking, Mike Barnett should not be standing here. Rita Barnett should have been a widow 19 years ago. And a half a dozen other times, because of some situations I found myself with underground. Not of my own doing, underground. I'm talking about underground in the coal mines. Life-threatening situations that I should have died in. And the shoe on the other foot, I should have been a widower. Because there's been several times Satan has tried to take her. But I want to say this. Hallelujah. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Understand, when you're walking in what God wants you to walk in, doing what God wants you to do at the place he wants you to do it, hallelujah, you can't help but be blessed and kept. Hallelujah. Before we have a prayer, a little fellow looked at me one night over something. I don't remember what he got angry at me about. He said, I'm going out the truck. I'm going to get my pistol. He says, and I'm going to shoot you. You're not going to live. I'm going to shoot you. And I couldn't have thought of this in 1,000 years. I looked at him and I said, Tommy, I said, if you kill me, I said, God will save you, sanctify you, fill with you, Holy Ghost, to make you preach in my stead, because he's not through with me yet. He stops in his track. He turned around and his mouth flew open. He says, I think I'll let you live. He says, I think I'll let you live. I want to tell you, he is your protection. I could go try to do what I'm doing here and go do it some other place and then flop. Why? Because God has ordained that I be here, and I know it. Hallelujah. So quit. When you know where you're supposed to be, don't wrestle with it, all right? I want to go on, but I've got to stop. So I want you to come pray with me. Come on. Please. Let's pray. Jesus. And some reason you have to miss next Sunday morning, praise the Lord, get a copy of it. Not because I'm preaching it, but get a copy of it. God's getting ready to do something mighty. How many of you know that you're born again? Your sins are out of the blood. You know that they're gone. Amen. How many of you know that you may, even though you may not understand totally what you're gifted and called to do, how many of you understand you're gifted and called of God to do something? Amen. Hallelujah. This is what I'm going to read to you. I get a new Bible, so I have to hunt everything. Because I wear the old ones out. That's good. Here we go. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which was in you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what God has given you to do your gifting and your calling. Hallelujah. Therefore, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us There it is. With holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he's given us in Christ Jesus before time began. So he knew what you were going to be before you were ever born. Hallelujah. This is what I want to ask you to do. And that's why I read this scripture. Say, Lord, stir up the gift you placed in me. Stir it up. Ask him to stir it up. And then ask him to make room for it. Amen? And then ask him to release his faith so you can perform it the way he wants it done. And he will lead you the whole way. Amen? You ready? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you stir up the gift or gifts of God that are within each believer this year, each man, each woman. Stir it up. Hallelujah. And Father, make room for each gift. Hallelujah here. Lord, there's room. There's places of ministry here. Praise the Lord that it will be done for your glory and their good. And Father, I ask also, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that you release that gift of faith to accomplish this work. Stir that up within them. The sound mind, the love, the power which, Lord, in the Greek means miracle-working power. Stir that up. That comes from the gift of faith. Stir that up in each one of us, that the doors of opportunity will open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you're going to receive that, lift your hands and tell him, I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name. Lift not one of them, lift both of them. Say, with my whole being, I receive it. I receive it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You'll feel his spirit come upon you and move in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you are going to leave this place really excited today. Hallelujah. Just a word of warning. Every time you go to move out for God, Satan tries to go. Don't be surprised when he tries to do it. They say, no, not this time. I'm going forward. Amen. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.